pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered with knowledge that will cause you to rise up and become who God wants you to be. Now, let's join the new series, Overcoming Duality.
Overcoming Duality, Part 3. What is, sit down, what is duality? The state of living a double life as a Christian. If you are not a Christian, you can be practicing duality maybe as far as your marriage is concerned. We call that cheating. Do you get it? You are doing dualism. But our focus for this series is rather a child of God who has accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but has a double life. In other words, you love Jesus. You do. You want to please God. You want to do the will of God. We don't doubt it. But you are also having other struggles that a lot of us don't know about. And you tried. I mean, some of you really tried to fight them. But they seem to have conquered to some degree. So, instead of you dumping Jesus, you figure out that I want to continue with Jesus, but I'm also going to have this on the side. Look at our foundational scripture quickly this morning. Matthew 23, verse 28. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous. But on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. So there is a picture we have of you on the outside, which is different when you are on the inside. There's a way people know you outside the house, and there's a way people know you inside the house. There's a way people know you outside the doors of the church, and there's a way people know you inside the doors of the church. I would like to also mention quickly this morning that, you see, we all stumble. Falling into sin and practicing sin are not the same thing. Ever so often, each one of us will fall into sin because of the nature that you have. You see that flesh you are carrying, it will cause you to miss the mark from time to time. And the Lord Jesus knew about that when he shed his blood on the cross. So John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to wash us from all unrighteousness. A person who falls into sin is a person who, it's not like he didn't premeditate sinning that day. It is something that happened to him as his day was going. That's why we confess our sins in the evenings. That's why you must not try to explain or to justify. Just agree with God, I've missed it. Did you understand what I'm trying to say? Yes. In your journey with God. I mean, don't look at me the way you are looking at me. It's like, it's like you don't know what I'm talking about. We all stumble. We all stumble. And God had made provision for your stumbling, which is the blood of Jesus. But you see, there are other people in the church who don't stumble into sin. Do you get it? Like, it's not like they were going about their day and they fell. No. There is something they plan to do. Do you get it? Like, it's part of them. They've figured out a way to come to church and do church life and also have another life outside the church. They don't stumble into sin. They practice sin. They live a sinful life. It's not something that they are afraid. I mean, they plan what they're going to do. These are people that will know, on this day, I'm going to wear this. And I'm going to go here. And I'm going to do this. And then on Sunday, I will come on Sunday. And I will wear this for Sunday. And I will sit here on Sunday. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are not stumbling into it. It's something that is part of their life. And they are no more, they don't have remorse. They found a way to be in church and in the world at the same time. It's not a border. It's not a border. And those are the people this series is about. Those are the people we are talking about. People who have figured out that, you know, I can come to church, I can do church things, and I can do other things without being bothered. Are you listening to me? It's very important that you understand that lifestyle, the Bible speaks about it. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 to 6, the Bible says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Let me first start by 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed, meaning the seed of God, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. When you are born of God, you cannot continue enjoying sin. It becomes something that disturbs you, something you want to get rid of, something you want to stop by all means. You don't enjoy doing it. But when you find yourself in a place where you figure out a way to do both and you flow with both, there's a problem. Let's come back to our John 3 verse 4 to 6. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. He doesn't say whoever falls into sin. Whoever commits. Commits carries the idea of commitment. So you are committed to that sin. It's not something that you are just doing there and there. You are committed fully. So we cannot say you have fallen. You are committed to the thing. When you go to do it, you know, you plan what you're going to do. Jesus. He goes on to say, and you know that he, meaning Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. So that sin, that it talk about committing, like you are practicing it on a regular basis. The Bible says either you don't know God or you've never met God. You've never met him before. You are in the church, but you are not in Christ. I want to quickly help you before I hit on what I had promised you. Let me explain to you the cost of duality. When a child of God like you and I start engaging in duality, there's a very high cost. Duality will make your life a mystery. Oh yes. Your life will be very mysterious. And a lot of you, your lives are very mysterious. A mystery is something we can't figure out. We can't figure out the happenings of your life. We can't understand the obstacles of your life. We can't figure out the bad lucks that are following that. Nobody understands nothing. Because we are always presented with the idea of a very dignified, a very wonderful person on Sunday morning. So your life becomes mysterious because after a while, we still don't see much. And we are beginning to wonder, what is the problem? That's the mystery. People that live a dual life always have a very mysterious life. Like nobody understands why God is not helping them. Nobody understands why the word of God is not working for them. It seems as if God is remembering everybody except them. But they and God know really why. Nobody knows why. Because it's a secret life that they are living and nobody knows exactly what is going on. Yeah. You know, many times I used to ask myself, I will come across a very talented person. And I will ask myself, I mean, how come the whole world is not knowing this guy? I mean, what I've seen, with what I've heard, it is a mystery. It is a what? A mystery. You find a person, they can preach. And you ask, why is the whole world not listening to this person? Why is everybody not following this guy? It's what? It's a mystery. You are seeing the outside. But usually there's an inside that you don't see, which explains the mystery. Explain the mystery. You will listen to a song. It will be so nice. And you feel like this type of song must go everywhere. And to your greatest amazement, this one is going nowhere. It's what? It's what? I'm asking you, it's what? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. You will look at a girl, you will feel that anybody will marry this girl. I mean, this one, as far as I'm concerned, everybody should marry this girl. I don't even know why anybody should look anywhere else. And it will be what? It's a big mystery. As to why she is still around and taken is a big mystery. A big mystery. And I want you to know, people who live a dual life will always have a mysterious life. A life nobody comes seems to figure out what exactly is causing this person to not shine. What exactly is causing this person to not be fruitful? You listen to the preaching. You attend the trainings. Everything is being done on you. But at the end of the day, still, nobody understands how come when you show up on Sunday morning, it's just you. After all the trainings, everything that has happened is what? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. We don't seem to figure out why, on your case in particular, the thing is not working. I tell you, if God could remove the veil, you will understand quickly what is going on. But the problem is that these veils are not easily removed. So people are always presented that image you are giving. And they are now confused. And somebody says, God is not good. God is not faithful. Why is God allowing this person to suffer after all the good things this person seems to be doing? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Duality will cause people to have a mysterious life. Everybody outside praises you. They love you. They sing praises to you. But after a while, they don't understand why your life is like that. Meanwhile, other people have another idea of you. Duality is bad. It's bad. So, that's the first thing. It makes your life mysterious. Number two, duality is behind every backslider you know. Everybody that you've seen them, they've come to church for a while. After a while, they stop coming to church. They were practicing duality. and they got caught along the way by one of the sides. And they couldn't continue the duality. They needed to go to unality. They needed to take one and go. Yeah, you see, because after a while, one will win. The Bible says, yeah, you cannot serve two masters. After a while, one will take over. And that's the danger of duality, is that duality will ultimately make one person to win. As you are practicing it, right now, it seems as if you are winning. That you can manage both lives. You can be both nice and nasty. You can appear to be loyal, at the same time you are disloyal. You see, that thing for now, it seems to be working. But over time, one will win. And that's where backsliding happens. People pull out. Not because the church is bad, but they were practicing duality. They didn't allow hell to come. And they continued trying to play a double life. And after a while, you can't contain, you can't sustain it. You know, it catches up with you. So duality leads to backsliding. It leads to backsliding. And if you are listening to me this morning and you are practicing duality, where you have a life people don't know about, just know that you are on your way to backsliding. And I pray that this morning God will touch your heart, that you will stop this thing and you will come out and say, this is what is going on. I don't want to return in the place where God took me from, where Jesus delivered me from. I don't want to go back there. You think it cannot happen to you, eh? Okay. Number three, duality caused the reputation of the church. Satan gets more than true believers than unbelievers. I want to tell you the truth about that. There are a lot of people that are unable to come to church, not because of unbelievers, but rather because of believers or so-called believers. The testimony you have given them as a Christian, that testimony has made them realize that what is the use? If you can go to church, after church come back and behave like this and do this and do this, then why should I follow you to church? I'd rather just stay here and we all enjoy ourselves. What is the use of me coming to church if after you go to church, you come back and this is what you're giving us? What is the use of going to church? What is the use? So a lot of people are not at church. That church where you are this morning, a lot of people are not in that church, not because the devil is really fighting them, but because Christians have given a bad testimony about Jesus, about the word of God, about Christianity, and it has spoiled the name of Jesus in that area. Some of you, we cannot even come where you are and do outreach. We can't. Because the moment people see that we are associated with you, they say, ah, these people don't know this guy. We know this. We know who they are moving around with. They don't know who this guy is. I mean, they are just busy. They don't know who they are dealing with. We know who this guy is. We know who this girl is. And because of you and your duality, a lot of people can't come to church. The Bible says in Romans 2, 23 to 24, you are so proud in knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scriptures say, the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. The Gentiles blaspheme or they tarnish the name of God. They mock at God because of you. You are the reason why they're mocking God. You are the reason. You are the reason why your cousin don't want to come to church. Because, I mean, when you return from home, from church, they see what you are doing. So they say, I mean, why must I follow to church? I mean, are you serious? It's time to break duality. Yeah. It's time to come out of this thing. Yeah. The cost is too much. The cost is too much. Then dual believers will cause new believers to backslide. Dual believers will call new believers to backslide. And it's very dangerous. I want you to hear what Jesus says about people. This is, when you are practicing duality, by all means, somebody will see you. And sometimes, Satan will cause new believers to see you. People who just started their journey. Then they see you at the tavern drinking. People who just started their journey. Then they see you in the corner with somebody that you haven't presented as your beloved. People that have started their journey. And they find you in compromising positions. You see, they will behave as if they didn't see you. They behave as if they were looking on the other side. But they saw you. But they saw you. In fact, some of you are not hiding it. Like you are not, it's not like you are hiding. You are not hiding nothing. You are just out there. You are just out there. People can see everything. But unknown to you, there's somebody who was looking up to you. Because they saw you come to church. Now you have shown them another picture of you. And this is what Jesus has to say in Mark 9:42. He says, but if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would have been better for you to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone hang around your neck. Anybody that has fallen into sin because you led them into sin. And this morning, I even want to talk about those of you that are rather taking them. Like, not that they saw you. You took them to the sin. You are a father in sin. You are taking them with you. You are the reason why they are fornicating. You are the reason why they are drinking. You are the reason why they are smoking. You are the reason why they are disobedient. You are the reason why they are disloyal. You are teaching them criticism. You are teaching them an independent spirit. You are teaching them offense. You are the reason why they can't attend church. You have trained them how to criticize the pastor. You have trained them how to criticize everything in the church. You've shown them that, you know, you can come to this church, behave as if you are happy, and then as you walk out, you start criticizing everything. They've heard you say those things. And the Bible says that if you cause one of these who trusts in me to fall into sin. So it means a human being, a believer, can cause another believer to fall into sin. If Jesus said it, it means it can happen. And it's happening. Most of the things that you see happening in the church are not always caused by the devil. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Satan cannot break the church. The church is broken by the church. Yeah. It's the people inside. Satan could not stop Jesus. It is rather his disciple called Judas that was part of his team that brought the destruction. It's the people inside, the people that are within. They are the ones that Satan uses to destroy the thing. So as you are behaving in a certain way, you are rather becoming a tool that he is using to destroy the church. Through your behavior, through the words you speak, through how you behave. The little ones are falling apart. They find you fighting. They see how you are behaving with your shepherd. They see how you are behaving with your pastor. They are learning that habit. If this person, I find them here, if this is how they are behaving, then something is wrong in the system. We are changing this morning in the name of Jesus. Duality will cost people the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Number one, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. Do you see that division? People who bring division in the church. Envy, drunkenness, believers that drink. You see, it's there. It's mentioned there. Wild parties. It's mentioned. Wild parties. Especially in this time we are in now. It's not just party. It's a wild party. He's mentioning it in the Bible. And other sins like this, let me tell you again, as I've already before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Anyone, those things I've just mentioned there, anyone who lives such a life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here you are. Paul is talking to the Galatians. It's a church he's talking to. I want you to understand. So I'm saying that they were practicing duality. So he's not telling them that if you practice this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is what we are not talking about heaven. We're talking about, you see, the kingdom of God is the power of God that is at work on earth right now. The dominion of God on earth. That's the kingdom of God. Like, you will not enter the life of God. Experience the things that God promises that you can experience. However, duality will also cost people the kingdom of heaven. So some people will only cost you the kingdom of God, but others, it will cost them the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, now he changes. It's no more the kingdom of God. Now the kingdom of heaven. Not just anyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Meaning this is a person who claims to be a believer. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? This guy's in the ministry. Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we done many wonders in your name? Then I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Not somebody who fell into something. So it's a lifestyle you have developed. You are practicing lawlessness. Do you understand the message? It means you don't have any intention of repenting because you don't think there's something wrong. You come to church, you do church things, you are even involved in the ministry, you are casting out demons, you are doing a lot. You are singing in the choir, you are an usher, you are in the worship team, you are in the media team, you are doing a lot of things. You see, Jesus only mentioned three because at the time of Jesus, there was no worship team, there was no choir, there was all these things we have now. Today, so if Jesus was to say this message today, he would say you are a greeter in the church, you are an usher in the church, you are a worshipper, you are a dancing star, you are a singing star in the church, and yet you are practicing duality. He said you are practicing lawlessness. You are living sin as a practice. Please understand there are consequences for these things. And I believe God is sending this message to awaken us. To realize that, you see, can I tell you something quickly? Sit down, let me tell you something quickly. When you go to a church where the pastor is old, usually, if you observe well, it will look as if now people are more free to do whatever they want to do. Because sometimes when people get old, they become also very lenient. That even the person, maybe like when he was young, he was very harsh and very, very firm. As they grow older, their power start reducing. So they are no more that strict. So when you enter the house of a strict father who is now old, you find that people can even jump on the table, do whatever they want to do. He's no more, even if he wants to, he doesn't have the strength much. So he's controlling his energy to survive. Like he can't use it for things like that. Actually, it goes both ways. When some people, when they get old, they become very wicked. Like their real wickedness now starts. Do you get it? Like they become seriously wicked. Like the big brother itself has come. The others, when they grow older, they become softer. They become gentle, calmer. And this brings a lot of deception in the hearts of people. Because you think because the person is now calm, because the person is now quiet, it means the thing is okay. And that's how God is, you know. God is usually very calm. You know, you can do something for years, and it's as if God doesn't know you are doing it. You can trick for years, and it's as if God is even helping you. He's like that. He will let you go on and on and on. And you will be deceived into thinking you are winning. Just like an old man that is just sitting there. Meanwhile, he has already figured you out. He knows exactly where you're going to end. That's why David was never happy when God is too quiet. Why are you so quiet? Why are you not saying anything? So when you become spiritual, the silence of God becomes something you don't want. When God is no more speaking. You see, as I'm speaking like this, every week I'm speaking, you see, you take it for granted until the day this mouth closes forever. You can't hear it again. Or you come to a church service, you can't see me on stage again. Yeah. It's gone. So, listen. The silence of God must concern you. When God is no more saying anything. Even at home, when your father is no more saying anything, you must understand it has moved to another level. It's not that the thing has become nice. It's that the thing has changed. Another thing, he has released you into something else. Like he has opened the door for something else to work. Yeah. When your mother is quiet now, every time she's screaming, and then after a while you realize you do the same thing and she's no more screaming. She's just watching you. You should be worried. Yeah. You should be worried. You should be very concerned that your pastor is no more saying anything. You can do whatever you want to do. He's just flowing with you. When you reach that level, it's no more nice. It's no more nice. Yeah. Quickly this morning, because I want to help you by the grace of God. I want to help you. So, I promised you last week that we're going to look at how we can break duality. Do you get it? I'm not just here to expose duality. The title of the series is Overcoming Duality. So this morning's message is from duality to integrity. What is integrity? The quality of being honest. A man of integrity. If you say, I'm a man of integrity, I'm an honest man. A man of integrity. I'm honest. It's the quality of having strong moral principles. A lot of Christians, they are very, very strong spiritually, but very weak morally. And that's what duality. Duality makes you is that you speak in tongues, blah, 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 but then you have serious moral flaws. A lot of moral things that are not okay. So integrity is strong moral principles. Like you have some strong moral principles you are standing by and living by. You know, I read the story of one of these Hollywood actors. Most of the movies that he plays, he's the bad guy in the movies. And people were always like, why have you chosen? Even when he goes in the mall, I'm sure children are running away. Do you get it? Because every movie, this guy is playing the bad guy. Like, so everywhere he go, people are afraid. So they ask him, why? Why is it that every movie, you must be the bad guy? He said the reason is actually quite simple. It's just that people, I'm glad you've asked, because nobody has ever really asked me why. He said, I discovered that when you are playing nice roles, chances are you will be asked to do a sex scene. Continue doing like you don't understand what I'm trying to say. But I'm not telling you that when all these nice guys you like, you don't just like them because they know how to box. No, 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 no. You like them because, hey, somewhere in the movie, somewhere, somewhere in the movie, there will be some action. That's why you like these guys. Be honest. Be honest. We are about integrity. Be honest. Be honest. Yeah, be honest about this. Do you get it? But that's what we do. So we like this guy because he will punch there. And then after a while, hey, he will be there like this. And then the girl will come. And then she will touch him like this. And then she will take a towel. And then she will start massaging him. Then he will look at her. Then she will look at him. Then they look at each other. And then the whole thing will change. And some of you in your heart, when the whole thing changes, you say, that's my man. That's my man. That's, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell your neighbor, please be honest, be honest, be honest. You know it's true. You know it's true. You know it's, but you'll be doing like, you're not seeing anything. You'll be doing like, ish, well, what is even happening? Like, I mean, what's going on? I mean, ish. Are these people, I mean, look at these people. But you're on the channel, but look at these people. So this guy said, because he figured out that every time you are a good guy, things are, you end up in bed with a lady. Sometimes you can end up in bed with three ladies in the same movie because you are so good. You are so good. You are such a good guy. You are such a good guy. In the movie, the producer will make sure your first wife dies. Then you get a second wife. Then they kidnap her. And then you get a third wife in the same movie. Same woman, three women. And this guy, they have no shame. They kiss this one, they kiss that one, and they sleep with this one. So the guy said, when he figured out that that is what was going on, he realized, he remembered he made a vow to his wife that he will never kiss any other woman except her. But now he's in the movie business. And in the movie business, if you are a good guy, you have to kiss them. It's part of the script. So, he discovered that the bad guys, they are too busy killing. There's no time to kiss, to sleep. It doesn't even look nice when a bad guy is kissing. Like, it changes the whole thing. Most of the time. There are some bad guys who do those things, but not many of them. So he decided he's going to be the bad guy. And he says, you know, listen to his statement. He says, because I love my wife more than my craft. I love my wife more than my work. So I would rather do a bad work and be a good husband. That is integrity. Strong moral principles that are guiding him. Some of us say, you will say to your agree is the movie. I mean, what should I do? What should I do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I mean, what do you want me to do? Must I write a script myself now? I mean, this is what is in the movie. I'm supposed to do this thing. And then the wife will say, but you are going to first. That's what you are saying I should do. Brother, that's where you will find us. When your moral principles are not strong, you are rather justifying the script. But when your moral principles are strong, you are choosing to change the script or to take another role that will cause you to not do that. What is integrity? The state of being whole, undivided. You are whole, your whole person, you are one. You are not divided. That's integrity. Integrity is one thing. You are plain. Yeah. So you now understand the statement of Job's wife to him. Will you hold on to your integrity? Curse God and die. How can you sustain this state after all the things that have happened to you? How come you are still a man of integrity? You've lost your wife. You've lost the children. You've lost the business. You've lost everything. Will you continue holding on to your integrity? Some of us, you don't even need to lose one child. The child just needs to be sick. The integrity is finished. Just small sickness. The integrity has changed. Has already changed. Small rebuke, I've changed. Small correction, I've changed. Yeah, I'm now divided in three. I'm divided in four. Yeah, just small correction. The divisions is already at 3, 7. Some of you like have 20 divisions already. As you are sitting there, a piece is there, a piece is there, a piece is there, another piece is there. Divided. So, our prayer is that through this series, we will become men and women of integrity. Oh, yes. That when you see me, I pray that God will help me. That I will not have another life behind closed doors. Another person that people don't know. I'm divided. There is this part and that. No. I'm undivided. When you come, what you see in the public is what I am in private. I'm the same person. Receive the grace to be a person of integrity. How do I become a man of integrity? Number one, you become a man of integrity, or you overcome duality, number one, by admitting you have a problem. If you don't admit that you have a problem, we will be here for a very long time. Yeah. Because the reason why you have continued this fight, because you don't think there's a problem. You haven't accepted that what I'm doing is wrong. Admit you have a problem. Start there. It's always the first stage for every victory. Every time you go to the doctor, when we diagnose you, have you seen people, they go to the doctor and that they are disputing that they are not sick, but they pay for consultation. The doctor is saying, look, no. It cannot be. I don't think so. But why did you come? There's a doctor who asked a patient one time, as the patient was tending to leave his practice, he said, ma'am, I just want to ask you a question. Why did you come today? Why did you book this appointment? Because it's clear that we have wasted all the time here. So exactly what was the reason why you came? Admit there's a problem. God, the Bible says in the book of John 4, 6 to 7, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Why am I quoting this verse to you? Because Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. Arguments. No, I'm doing this because, you know, actually people don't know my story. You know, it's because of this. It's, you know, if people knew, I mean, I'm actually doing better. I'm doing better than this one. And you see, you are fighting too much. You are defensive. Only by pride comes defensiveness, arguments, too much explanation, and manipulation. Pride is what causes you to be like that. And that's why the problem doesn't end. After all your explanations, it continues. Because God will never sponsor pride. But God will give grace to the humble. Humility means I admit. It's not just that it is wrong. I'm wrong myself. I'm not doing well. Admit you have a problem. Stop sugarcoating it. Stop explaining it. Stop giving it good reasons. That's why it is there. Are you listening to me? Admit I have a problem. You find people, they have the problem, but they are saying that this person is making me to have a problem. This person is the reason why I'm like this. My father, I'm blaming my father for this. I'm blaming my mother for this. I'm blaming my wife for this. I'm blaming my uncle for this. I'm blaming the government for this. But they don't see that they have a problem. You see? Admit I have a problem. Then the grace of God will now come to help you. And as long as you are defending yourself, God will resist the proud. And the proud will continue falling. Pride goes before the fall. Number two, you can overcome duality by submitting yourself to a strong leader. I'm choosing my words carefully. Submit yourself to a strong leader. People who practice duality don't like strong leaders. No. Because they don't want to be confronted. They want to be comforted, not confronted. They don't want to be confronted. They want to be comforted. So they would like a leader that sympathizes with them, that tells them, you know what, I think I understand. They don't like to be around people that are radical because they know it will mean they have to change. Galatians chapter 2 verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face. For what he was doing was very wrong. Do you know that many people cannot oppose you to your face? They will oppose you behind the scenes. But they will not oppose you to your face. It takes a strong leader. Somebody who really loves you and who cares for you. So Paul was strong enough to confront his brother and fellow worker, Peter, that what you are doing is wrong. I think Paul saved the ministry of Peter that day. Dual people, they don't like strong leaders. They avoid them. You find them talking, as soon as a strong leader comes, they become quiet. They just say, hey. Muruti? Shepherd. Pretending. They are very talkative until the leader comes. They become very quiet. They can join everybody except him. No, they will never join him. You know, it takes strength to enter a car I'm inside. Do you understand? If I'm in a car, and you enter the car, you have to be strong. And dual people don't like such positions at all. That I'm going to be in the car with pastor. Then pastor will stand now asking questions and this and this. I rather want to go with shepherd. So I rather want to go with brother. So I rather want to go with sister. So look at that duality that you are coming with. That's why your problem is not going. Because you want to continue sugarcoating yourself. Yeah. I observe people. I do like I don't see, but I see everything. You don't know. I see everything. I observe the one who will come and sit in the front seat. I observe those people that can come open the seat and sit next to me. This is a person that is ready. They say, pastor, look, I'm here. Anything you want to talk about, I'll listen to, I'll talk. We'll talk. But be careful with people. The front seat is available. They sit at the back. They sit at the back. They don't even want you to see them. And if they have an opportunity, they'll use another car, not your car. But in the chair, they say, pastor, you are the best. You are the best. You are the best. Full of pretense and hypocrisy. When it comes time for the real work to help them, they choose another leader. They choose a weaker leader. Yeah, they choose a weaker option. They will not go for the strong option. What to you when you are a leader that your people prefer being with you than being with your leader? What to you? It's a serious problem that it's that, that it's not just that your leader is too hard or whatever. It's also that you are too soft. You are too soft. That's why they are always around you like puppies. Small, small puppies. Around you like puppies. Hmm? Chihuahuas all around you. Isaiah 5 verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Dwell people like being around people who will call evil good. They will not be like Paul who will say, what you are doing is very wrong. And any leader here that you choose to be a weak leader, you are saying you will have duality all over the church. You will never be able to raise real people. Because you can't be like Paul, who is saying that what you are doing is very wrong. Sit here, let's talk about this. Why are you behaving like this? Always sugarcoating everything. That's why duality has continued before your eyes. I mean, Peter came to do duality in front of Paul. Eh? Do you know how many of your leaders, how many of your people are doing duality in front of you? You will be seeing that what this guy is doing is wrong. But you will allow it. You will allow it. It shows weakness. It's weakness. You are showing weakness. And your followers will always test your strength. I can tell you that you can write it somewhere. If you are a leader, your followers will test your strength. If you are a husband, your wife will test your strength. If you are a father, your children will test your strength. They always want to know how far they can go. How far they can go. I'm telling you, your wife will be pushing to see if you can allow. And as you are allowed, she will keep pushing. You think she will stop there? She will keep pushing. She will keep pushing. She will keep pushing until you will become like Adam. God told Adam, because you have listened, I made you to, your wife must listen to you. You are rather listening to your wife. This is where we are. This is where we are. Duality has entered. It has intoxicated the whole system. There's no strength. No strength to confront. Children can do anything they want. You can never confront. You can never confront them. They will be watching porn in front of you one day. You'll be looking at their sister. And you will say, my children, do this thing when I'm not there. I mean, I'm sitting here, you are watching porn. Why? Respect me. Respect me. Do it when I'm not there. Listen to you, to what you are saying. I heard Bishop Oedipo say, if he finds an earring in his sons, he will cut the ear. He said that, if I find the earring, not in the ear of my son, my boy, I cut it. I will cut the whole ear for him. But you find other father, the children has 3 ears, 4, in the 1 ear like this, earrings, 3 earrings. And the nose everywhere. And he said, no, that's my son. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. Your wife is misbehaving. I love my wife. She's very beautiful. She's very wonderful. Your children are misbehaving. My children are the best. What to those who call evil good and good evil? That's why duality has entered the system. Because people are not willing to confront issues that are bad. He goes on to say, who put darkness for light and light for darkness? Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? And this guy just everything in the reverse. Everything in the reverse. How will you not be a dual person if you're around a person like this? Huh? They will see you do something bad, but they'll always say, no, it's okay. It's okay. God will help us. Come, let's pray. Come, let's pray. When are you going to confront this thing? Every day, come, let's pray. Prayer doesn't solve all these problems. When Paul saw this thing, he didn't say, okay, Apostle, let's have a quick prayer session. Let me read it for you. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him where? To his face. His face. For what he did was very wrong. If Paul did not confront Peter here, Peter was going to, you know the name of Peter? His name is Cephas. Simon. Simon. Shaky. Unstable. Flaky. Jesus had to give him a name, rock, solid, become solid. Yeah. A lot of things cannot happen if you are shaky, wavering, duality. You cannot have, let me tell you, you cannot have a great church if you are a dual shepherd. You are a dual pastor. You are a dual shepherd. You can never have a church. You will not have it. Because the church is built on the rock. I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build a church. You can't build a church on sand. You can't build a business on sand. You have to confront people that are misbehaving as your employees. You have to fire some of them. And you are too soft. You are allowing everything to happen, and then we're having a problem. A lot of our homes are led by children because the father is too soft. He believes he loves the children more than God. For the time we have, let me just give you one more. I can't take you through all of them today. Don't miss the last Sunday. I'll give you a few more. Let me give you just one more. You can overcome duality by learning to say no to your flesh. It's something you need to learn to do. Learn to say no. You don't know how to say no to your flesh. Yes. And I want to show you a scripture. Titus. This is a scripture I want you to memorize. My wife was quoting this scripture for me in the car. I was like, wow, she has memorized it. Titus 2, 11 to 13. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Okay, if I read it in the King James, you will flow. I know those of you who like King James. Let's go to King James. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you, God is working in this ministry. How many of you can feel that God is doing something? Too much softness. You are too soft. You are too soft. You are too soft. Everything is just allowed. Everything is allowed. And God is looking and says, I can't do much with you. Too much duality is all around. You yourself, you are dual. Everybody is dual around you. Yeah. I repeat myself. I always check who is going to come and sit in front. When I'm somewhere with these people, I'm laughing in my heart. I say they are all trying to get busy. They're all trying to do something. They are waiting for the first one to go sit in front. Then all of them start rushing at the back. Look at this, I say. Look at this dualism that is happening before my eyes. It's just happening in front of me. People are too dual. They don't want the heat. Titus 2, verse 11. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Now, I didn't want to use that one because of the no that I wanted in NIV. So it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all men. It teaches us to say no. It teaches us. Yeah. So all we know what to say. You know, do you know what you know to say? Is yes. I want to drink. Yes. I want to smoke. Yes. I want to sleep. Yes. I want to sleep around. Yes, of course. You've even gone to of course. Of course. Very sure. Oh, yes. You've even added oh, yes. Oh. Hey! I want to masturbate. Oh, yes. I want a little bit of porn. Yes, of course, of course, of course, of course. Everything this thing is asking, you are just giving. Oh, yes, of course. Take it. It's yours. Double portion. The grace of God has appeared. Not to pastors. Not to prophets. To all people. All of us. All of God. The grace of God has appeared to all of us. Do you want to know what the grace of God has come to do? One thing. To teach you and me. To say what? No. I want to masturbate.
No.
I want to drink.
No.
I want to smoke.
No.
I want to sleep.
No.
You see, you have to learn to say no. Which means if you can start saying no, a lot of things will start. The grace will start helping you. Yeah, it will start helping you. If you can start saying no, the grace will come. Okay, because you said no. I've taught you to say no. Let me help you sustain your no. Can I tell you something? Once you are saying yes, how can the grace help you? The grace has come to help you say no. When now you are saying yes, how can the grace help? How can the grace help? I see you saying no. Alone in your room, when your things come, and the things start rising in you, and you are feeling the vibration, and you can feel you are about to become a dualistic. A dualistic dualism is happening there. You say, no! I will not do it. Lord, help me, help me now, help me, help me. I'm saying no, help me, help me, help me, help me. There's a scripture I want to end with today. Romans 6, verse 14. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Yeah. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Why? For you are not under the law, but under grace. And the grace of God has appeared to all men. And the grace of God is doing just what. The reason why sin cannot have authority over you, dominion over you, because the grace has come to teach you something. And the grace is teaching you to say, I call, I refuse, I reject, I will. Hallelujah. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? This is how you overcome duality. Because if you are beginning to say no in your room there, a lot of dualism will stop. Yeah, you start saying no. Alone in your room there, you say, no, I'm not going to do it. If I cannot do it in the church, why must I do it here? Do you know it's the same you? At church, you are not doing those things. It's the same you. But it's not like it's a different you. It's the same you. At church, you are not doing those things. So it means you can live without doing those things. Because it's here you are not doing them. It's telling you, you can. But somebody is lying to you. No, you can't. No, you know, yeah, you can. But just now, you were able to. Just now, you were able to. It's the same you. But wait a minute, if I can stand here and do it, why come when I come this side, it's like I'm not told I can't? No, because another voice is saying to you, say yes. Say yes. So you now need to bring this teacher home and let him help you. I've got few more points for you that I will share with you next week. And you will see, if you start applying them, this week, today, we learn number one, admit you have a problem. Number two, submit under a strong leader. Look in the church who is strong. When you are 2 weeks, look for somebody who is strict to become your friend. But usually you run away from such people because you don't want your things to be confronted. That's why your problem continues. Look for somebody who will confront you. And if your leader has been too soft, tell him, look, if you don't start confronting me, I'm going to change leaders. Because I don't want to continue being here. You are deceiving me. I'm saying this respectfully. I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to apologize to you after I finish talking. But I'm just saying, if you don't start confronting my problems, then I don't know why we are together. I don't know why we are together. It's time you start doing the job God has given you to do in my life. Do your job. Tell your leader, my leader, please do your job. I'm here. Do your job. Tell them, do your job. Do your job. I'm available. I'm ready. I want to change. I'm tired of living a double life. I'm tired of pretending to be something I'm not. My leader, please take charge and help me. Help me out of this situation. Instead of you being offended, when your leader asks, where were you? Where were you? Why did you come late? You are trying to control me here. What is this? I can't have my little life small. You see, that's what is the problem. That's the problem. It means that leader cannot confront the real issue. Some of the leaders, they are listening to me, they are afraid. They are afraid. Even when they think about the people, they see the big snakes that are waiting for them like this. The cobras and the anacondas that are just say, okay, you heard the word, come and try me. Come and try me. But leader, listen to me. The Bible says, I will give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Enough is enough. If you don't want me to lead you, go somewhere else. But I cannot lead you on your terms. Then we are not going there. Because if I'm the leader, you must follow me. You must follow me. Are you listening to me? I see you going from duality to integrity. In the name of Jesus, you are becoming an integrity person. Integrity. Lift your hands and begin to receive the spirit of integrity. Father, thank you for making me a man of integrity. Father, thank you for making me a woman of integrity. No more duality. No more dualism. No more double love. No more dividedness. Come on, pray that prayer from the depths of your heart. Pray that prayer from the depths of your heart. Lord, make me a man of integrity. Make me a woman of integrity. Take away duality from my life. Pray from the depths of your heart. Pray from the depths of your heart. Pray from the depths of your heart. Makalova, Brantekelava, Branche Preteva, Eprekanova, Prazibreleva, Mancho Bregeda, Zakalamenda, Branche Katove, Eprezilemo, Kaprentacheva, Zamendelava, Prekedezalo, Ayamandevaya, Eprezikelazo, Branche Vrelema, Mako Preyage, Zipele Madova, Aprakatoveya, Japrandageza, Simele Madoye, Japrakatoze, Entevele Dayo, Mayi Preketaza, Makamaneva, Zepele Genazo, Yakante Preyazi, Ilemetezayo, Ayakalaveya, Japrendemeze, Prentokoyama, Oyamanamaza, 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 integrity, strength, to do what I'm supposed to do, to say what I'm supposed to say, to stand on the ground I'm supposed to stand on. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus. Jamadebe zagele manda, mayagaba zebre goda bayamenda, No more divided. I am not divided. I am not cut in pieces. I am whole. I am one. A man of strong morals and principles. Strong morals and principles. Oh, honest. I am an honest man. I am an honest man. I speak the truth. There is honesty. 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 Shegeyama. Magabayama. Magebreyama. Honesty. Honesty. Jegeyazo. Prakelemaya. Zaprakatova. Janteprayava. Breshiketema. Kayakatove. Esineleva. Honesty. Father, take away deceitfulness. Father, take away deceitfulness. Father, take away duplicity. Father, take away lies. Father, take away self-deception. Father, cause us to become men and women of integrity. Men and women that are honest. Men and women that walk in the truth. That walk in the light. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Shemeya gayama zebre gedema. Oh, mayama zebre gadobaramaya. Integrity, integrity, integrity. Take away duplicity. Take away duality. Take away deception. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Lord, these demons of lying, these demons of dishonesty, these demons of duality, but we bind them this day. We bind them, we bind them, we bind them, we bind them, we bind them. Mayakaya, mayakaya, makola maya, makola maya, makola maya. Enema zibelema, enema zibelema, enema zibelema, enema zibelema. Oh, I bind every devil of dishonesty and lies. In Jesus' precious name, I want you to continue praying in your house. I want you to repeat this message many times over. It's available on audio, on video. I mean, play it until the spirit of honesty starts getting into you. This morning, before I close, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Let me ask you just one question this morning. Are you born again? Or are you caught up in two worlds? You love God sometimes, you love the world other times. When will you make a choice? The Bible says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. And that day is your day. Today is your day of salvation. If you are listening to this message, the first step to breaking duality is to give your life to Jesus. So I want you to pray for somebody this morning. You are saying, I want to be born again. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want God to enter my heart. At the count of three, please raise your right hand. Let me pray with you. One, two, three. Raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can take your hands down. Maybe this morning you want to recommit yourself to Jesus. After this word you've heard, you just feel like there's a lot of duality. There's a lot of dishonesty. There's a lot of dishonesty in your life. And you just want to reconnect properly to the spirit of integrity. Come on, the spirit of integrity. If that is you saying, Pastor, I want you to commit myself. The count of three, raise your right hand without any shame. One, two, three, raise it up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let's pray together quickly. Dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Please forgive me. I didn't know. Some of the things I learned this morning, I honestly didn't know them. At least that way, I didn't know them. Please forgive me, Lord. I repent. I turn from my sins. I want your life. I want to be a person of integrity. This day, I open my heart. Please, Jesus, forgive my sins. Wash me with your blood. In the name of Jesus, cleanse me from all iniquity. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for entering my life from today. I turn from sin. I don't want to sin by practice. Help me, Jesus, to come out of a practice of sin. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your grace that will teach me to say no when I'm supposed to say no. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.